In this alienating modern world, living and relating to others in a truly non-violent manner can be extremely challenging. We are conditioned to treat ourselves and others in a myriad of ways that perpetuate oppression and violence, and much of this happens subconsciously. Practicing nonviolence is even more challenging in tense and harsh environments, such as a prison. Through a program called Alternatives to Violence, prisoners and community members are working together to face this challenge. They are learning the skills and insights of nonviolent approaches to conflict resolution and communication. The Alternatives to Violence project was started by the Quakers in the mid-1970s in New York. Since then, it has expanded around the world. It takes place in prisons, but also in schools and other communities. Today, we're joined by several people who are passionate advocates of restorative justice and nonviolence. They have all been working with the Alternatives to Violence project in prisons in the Fraser Valley in BC. Alana Abramson is the executive director of the North Shore Restorative Justice Society. Alana has volunteered for a number of years in the prison system as an alternative to violence facilitator, coordinator, and more recently, a citizen escort. Robert Cito is a restorative justice advocate and practitioner. He currently facilitates the Alternatives to Violence project in prisons in the Fraser Valley. He's also a member of the Victims Advisory Council to the Correctional Service of Canada. He is personally involved in the justice system, having participated in several parole hearings and victim offender mediations related to the murder of his sister. And Dan Ackland is a lifer who was recently released on parole. For the past 4 years, Dan facilitated and coordinated the Alternatives to Violence project from the inside. He also works with youth through a program called Partners in Learning. Thanks all for joining us and coming down to talk a little bit about your work with this project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So maybe you can each start by telling us how you got involved in the Alternatives to Violence project. Maybe Alana, do you want to start?
Sure. I got involved 8 years ago. I was taking a course in restorative justice at Simon Fraser while I was doing my undergrad in criminology. And Liz Elliott, who was teaching the course, invited me to come and check out what was going on at Mission Institution in the Fraser Valley. Going in, I really wanted to help prisoners. I saw myself as trying to do advocacy for them or provide them with some support. But what I quickly learned through the Alternatives to Violence project was that I had a lot of my own violence, things that I had experienced but also done to others that I hadn't addressed. And so it was one of the most powerful experiences that I've ever gone through. And I always call myself a lifer of AVP now because it's something that I'll always continue to invite others to so that they can have this experience that I had. For me, the most magical part about it is that it connects community members with people on the inside, and you learn that all of us have way more in common than we do different. For the community members, it completely breaks down some of the stereotypes they have about people who live in prison, and for the prisoners, it gives them a sense of what's going on in the world. A lot of the guys that I've met over the years have no visitors, they've lost contact with family, so we really are a lifeline for them and can provide them support upon their release.
And Dan, how did you get involved in the Alternatives to Violence project?
When I got to Ferndale Institution after around 6 years, I met a guy named Robert through another friend who introduced me to him, and he encouraged me to come to AVP in this little project in the parole board room. He said, just come check it out. And so I did one evening, and it was a lot of fun, and I met some really great people, and went to my first workshop, which was a 3-day workshop over like 12 hours a day for 3 days, and just became, as Alana had suggested, just an AVP lifer, and I just never stopped going. Hardly ever missed a workshop or a what we call a mini, which occurs basically on the first Friday of every month. So, you know, it was just a lot of fun, and met a lot of great people. And you know, guys coming from prison have a lot of stuff to explore, right? And what we do is we create safe spaces to do that. So the Alternatives to Violence project gave me an opportunity to share some of my past and just learn from other people, a new way to be, right? And meet new people with a lot of, you know, new ideas, neat ideas on how to be in the world, right? Because you just don't necessarily run into that every day, right? So it's just, how do we live our best lives? And that's what I'm doing today in the community, right?
And Robert, how did you get first involved in the Alternatives to Violence project?
Well, actually, I became involved in the whole justice area a number of years ago, about 2004, when I learned that the offender who murdered my sister was coming up for a parole hearing. And through that process of going through a parole hearing and becoming involved in victim issues, I became a speaker on a panel for informing people about different ways that you can respond to harm. And while I was on that panel, I met another victim of crime who was involved in the Alternatives to Violence Project. And she asked me, would I be interested in trying this out at Ferndale Institution? So I thought about it, and I really was curious about it because my contact, I think, with an offender and the criminal justice system was only through personal harm. And I really was wanting to know more about the prison system and the treatment of offenders inside institutions and what was it like for them, and was rehabilitation really possible? So through that invitation, I became involved as a volunteer at Ferndale and started attending weekend mini sessions, as Dan was talking about. And over a period of time, I started to take the workshops and eventually start to facilitate workshops too. And now I help coordinate the project here in the Fraser Valley.
It's interesting to have the three of you here because you're all coming from it from different places, but together there, it sounds like you're all making connections and learning from each other. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of that experience of those connections that you make and the type of relationships that you build with people?
Well, I know from my own experience, it started, you know, with Alana and Liz Elliott inviting me to their, you know, criminology classes to do some presentations and just speaking about prison, some of the experiences I've had in my personal life, and just my journey through corrections, right? And it turned into opportunities where Alana and both Robert, you know, were citizen escorts, and they would take me home, meet my family. I'm going to Kelowna, so it was quite a journey. So you end up spending like 8 hours in a vehicle talking, you know, over lengthy periods of time with these people. And, you know, you develop these relationships and connections, and it's just like, you know, it's not something that, you know, we take for granted, and it's not something that, you know, it's a blessing to have this type of stuff come into Ferndale Institution. And I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about some of the stuff, like, you know, it's a lot of politics and bureaucracy within an institutional setting, and, you know, it's a very good thing that's happening. And I know the guys appreciate it. Coming from inside, you hear the stories about just how awesome it is. And a lot of guys talk about that, being like, you either love it or you don't, right? There's just no gray area there. It's those guys that appreciate the opportunities for that connection that keep going and keep coming back and do learn from it. And there's countless guys out there that have been through AVP and are still out in the community living healthy and balanced lifestyles, right? I think that's what it's all about, just learning how to keep everything in context, right?
It sounds like, from each of your descriptions, it sounds like there's something about it that hooks you in. I guess sometimes when you go into these, you know, sort of intense situations, you have some particular ideas about what it's going to be like. I'm just curious if you can talk a little bit about some of those initial expectations and then what it was actually like. I don't know, Alana, if you want to expand a little bit on what you were saying earlier.
Sure. I guess what I anticipated was people that needed support and me going in there and volunteering and providing that support. But what I learned through the process, and I'll talk a bit about that process because I think it's one that I've seen work in many different settings, not just the prison setting. But through the process, you learn that everybody can gain. And as Dan has a really wonderful way of putting it, is that when you come to these workshops, you put things into the circle and people take out what they need and leave what they don't need. And it's one of the great things about AVP is that it's completely voluntary. So the guys aren't, you know, given any benefits from being there in terms of their parole or how the institution looks at them. And that's a really important component because people are coming with good motivation and an open mind and not doing it to get something else. And so the process itself is a group of people that are there voluntarily, maybe a bit out of curiosity, maybe somebody's invited them in that they trust. So you can see these sort of the ripple effects of it and as you've indicated, we come from different parts of the community, we come from different perspectives, different backgrounds, but we all gather at this one place for similar reasons. And I think over the years, I found what keeps coming up is that sense of community. I didn't realize that I lacked that sense of community in my life. I didn't know my neighbors. I didn't, you know, at the grocery store, I didn't know who was, you know, was working there, nothing like that. And so in this increasingly fragmented and individualistic society, coming together and being in community and sharing together is very compelling and an amazing experience. So the process involves a circle, and I think that that is a central component of the project as well as restorative justice, and that every single person has an equal opportunity to speak and to share, and to everyone else can listen with respect. And I really feel like, as simple as it sounds, we don't have that in our day-to-day life. So that for me was an amazing experience, just to be able to take that time to sit in community and to hear from each other. The other part of the process, of course, is the experiential learning, where we're exploring these very important topics of violence and communication and conflict resolution and self-esteem and relationships, these things that we don't talk about often, even with our best friends or closest family members. So it's quite a unique experience that way.
Yeah, it sounds like quite an intense and self-reflective experience. I don't know, Robert, if you had anything you wanted to add to that.
Well, sure. I think what struck me first when I first joined AVP was that I didn't have any conception of what a prison was like or what prisoners were like beforehand. And so when I joined, I really discovered that they were really no different than any person on the street, as far as I could see. And that was very surprising to me, because I had always had this conception that somehow I would be dealing with individuals who were deficient in some way, who had really overt signs of personality disorders, or they were prone to violence. But my experience right from the beginning was quite shocking to me, in that they quickly became people who I just could conceive of just like any other person that I would meet out in the community. And moreover, I really felt that there was something that they possessed internally through their processes of being involved in AVP that I was actually lacking. Like Alana said, that sense of community that they had been involved in, I didn't have at all. And also the feeling that there was the possibility that their relationships that existed outside in the community were lacking, because what I felt from my AVP experiences was that we were able to communicate on a deeper level than that's normally possible, because of the setting and because of the issues, because of the way that AVP works, than you would normally do in the community. So that was very surprising to me, and that's stuck with me ever since, as being verified through the experiences of other people too, in that coming to prison, you think that you're volunteering your time to help others, but actually what you're doing is you're improving yourself, and you're changing your whole attitudes and your perceptions of others.
I think it's interesting, Alana, you were mentioning community, and I was just thinking about nonviolence and what nonviolence actually means, because some people can define it in a simple way as the absence of violence. But I think for me anyways, it's far more complex than that. I was just wondering if we could talk a little bit about that idea, about what nonviolence actually means in relationship to community and others.
It's a very interesting question, because we explore that question of nonviolence like a lot in AVP. And I know one of the definitions of violence, or rather nonviolence, that stuck with me over the years, and I learned it through actually a correctional program. So one of the things that I gained out of this correctional program was sort of the beginnings of this definition, but it sort of was refined through circle process and AVP. And that is simply this, that treating people in a way where you're left with no regret in your interaction is become my definition of nonviolence. So that really encompasses all aspects: physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Like if you leave a situation with no regret, It's very hard to find a situation that can be violent in that context. And so, I mean, you make a few assumptions about that a person's capable of having regret, right? But I think in AVP, we believe that everybody has that goodness in them. And we look for that. And that's one of the big goals in AVP, right? We look for the goodness in others. And that's the thing that defines us, as AVPers, right? We're always talking about that there's goodness in everyone and we're all connected. And we just have to look for that, right? So if you start from that basis, that idea of nonviolence and treating everybody with respect and leaving things without any regret is fundamental to AVP. But, you know, when I was listening to Robert speak and we talk about this stuff about community and connection, like, you know, Robert talked a little bit about his background, but when I'm with Robert, I just think of him as my friend, right? Like, we're not, you know, I'm a lifer, and he talked about his past. We hang out, right? Go for lunch, go for coffee, you know, he's my friend. And I think that's the extension, what goes beyond AVP, right? That you make friends, and these people are going to be my friends for the rest of our lives, right?
I don't know if anyone else wanted to comment on their own definition of nonviolence.
I like what Dan said. I also liked what you said about it being a complex topic. And I don't take the view that nonviolence is simply the absence of violence. From my perspective, it's actually quite an active, it's being actively engaged in seeking out situations that can be transformed, I feel. And it's also, I guess, taking responsibility for safety in our own community. For me, if I want a safe community, I need to be actively involved in supporting those people that may be struggling in our community. And so I'm not going to leave it up to the government or corrections or anybody else to keep me safe. I want to take an active role in that. And I feel like if more people took that perspective, we would have safer, more connected communities rather than giving it over to some third party. So for me, nonviolence is taking an active role in your community, taking responsibility for your actions and how you live your life, but also being there to support those who might need the support at that moment. And it is daily reflecting on how we are in our relationship with each other and with ourselves. I think that's a really, really important point.
And Robert, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Well, one of the things that AVP does is it expands the definition of violence. And I think we all too often get caught up in the notion that violence is just what we do to each other physically, overt harm. But I think one of the goals of AVP is to sensitize people that violence comes in many forms, some of them quite subtle, and they form a part of our everyday life. And I think the AVP experience makes us think about what we do and how we relate to each other, and tries to turn what we do in that way around, transforming power, so to speak, and so that we can create proactively, as Alana says, those relationships that create a better world. And so I think that's really one of the kind of cornerstones of AVP, I think, is how we conceive of violence. And then when you try to apply that beyond the setting of the AVP workshop and into your community setting and your daily lives, that's really the power of AVP, to take those lessons and apply it every day.
I guess I'm curious as to how, you know, before you took AVP and sort of as you were learning that process, how that affected how, you know, you interacted with others in the prison or the bureaucracy of the prison or the systems of power that exist in that institution. If there, you had a different, did it change your approach to that? And then did that change your sort of experience in the way that you dealt with being in prison?
I'd like to think so. But, you know, honestly, you're in such a huge power imbalance when you're dealing with corrections that, you know, you're always the inmate, you're always the, you know, person who's less than, right? So overcoming that imbalance is always difficult. But I think, you know, for the majority, you can't say it generally, but for the majority, you know, I think my relationships, even with the people in corrections, improved, right? I think I became a more genuine person over time. And it's not as selfish as I used to be and stuff. So my interactions changed, But I mean, I didn't get along with everybody, and you can't. But you know, I didn't use violence to solve my problems, right? And I tried to work through those problems talking, you know, productively instead of destructively. So, you know, corrections is a huge beast, and it's hard to work through sometimes when you're inside that. Looking back at the experience, you know, I've grown from the experience. I mean, I wouldn't be the person I am today without this experience. So I have to appreciate that in a sense. But, you know, one would hope that there's other ways to do that, right, than having to go to prison for 10 years.
Indeed. Indeed. And Alana, for you, in terms of your experience through alternatives to violence, I know you also do a lot of work on restorative justice and have for a number of years. I'm just wondering how that changed the way you related in your own life from some of the things you learned.
I think it has to do a lot with what Robert said about just breaking down those stereotypes and approaching the world in a more open way. I feel like the personalities that you meet through a process like this, because everybody's coming from these different places, you meet people that you would never normally meet along the way. And that has enriched my life so much. I think one of the most rewarding things that has come is what Dan spoke about in terms of the connections between AVP and the broader restorative justice community and the universities, actually, that I've taught at, is that being able to bring prisoners in, AVPers in, to speak to the students about what they've gained has enlightened the students so much, broken down their stereotypes. And, you know, my students in CRIM are going to be going on and being correctional officers, being the ones in power. So if they have the experience to hear from people who have gone through the prison system and the court system and been arrested and those kinds of things, you would just hope that something that they took away from that experience will help them stay connected to their values. Because, you know, they go into these jobs, I think, with a lot of optimism, with a lot of, you know, good intentions. But so many times I've seen them become part of this huge machine that they don't agree with. It doesn't match their values at all. So I think things are shifting. I think that people are starting to be more open to different ways of being. They're starting to see that what we've been doing for 200 years isn't working, and it's only 200 years. We can start over. We can try to do things differently.
I don't know, Robert, if you have anything you wanted to add at this point.
Well, one of the things that I see myself doing now is acting somewhat of an ambassador for restorative justice and what AVP does for people. I think the typical person still doesn't really have a fully formed concept of what prisons are like. And it's quite common that people will talk about our schools and our hospitals, but they never use that phrase and say our prisons, because prisons for people are a place that you want to kind of put into a corner far out into the community somewhere, and you really don't want to have much to do with it from a lot of people's perspective. So I think that being involved in it as a volunteer and then going out to the community and having the conversations with everyday people and that you have contact with in your lives, and them knowing something about you and me being from the victim community, so to speak, I think it gives them a different perspective that if I can somehow find something that's positive in doing this type of work, then perhaps it deserves some consideration from others too. And I think you can really best effect change in how you relate to other people and be the change that you want to see. And I think it is quite effective, I think, when people go out into the community and have those conversations with everybody. And they will stop and think about it. If they consider you a person who they respect, they will perhaps, you know, the next time that they read a news article or listen to something on the TV, then maybe they won't take their crime and punishment perspective, you know, at face value.
What kind of things would you say to people who are thinking about getting involved or participating in this.
Come and enjoy yourself and be prepared to have some fun and meet different people from every different background, and you know, you'll have an experience. I mean, that's what it's about, having experiential, you know, interaction. It's probably more meaningful and deeper than you would be used to and accustomed to. So if that sounds like, you know, attractive, then by all means, show up at prison and you know, get into circle, because it's fun. And, you know, intermixed and all that fun is these neat ways to connect not only with yourself, but others. Somebody said to me once that these prisons are not, you know, they're not the institutions. They're the peoples. They're like the publics. I mean, these are federal institutions. They belong to Canadian citizens. They don't belong to the bureaucrats that run them, the systems that create all these obstacles. So you need people that are passionate about, you know, connecting with other human beings on a really deep level to get involved in these institutions, because, you know, they belong to the people, not to the government officials that are placed as keepers, right? So, you know, these community connections are really important. And I say to anybody that's interested, don't allow yourself to be overcome by the barriers, but, you know, break them down as vehemently and as vigorously as you can, right? Because only through these connections and only through the really, really, you know, passionate people do change, you know, change happens. Like he said, change, you know, be the change you want to be, right? So you got to break down these obstacles that, you know, the bureaucracy places in front of you, and just be really relentless in that pursuit, right?
I would add that people need not feel any sense of apprehension about coming into a prison. I think that's might be something that people might have some thoughts about, but it hasn't really been the experience of any of the volunteers who have come that's been a concern, and really they've come in very comfortably and just had some amazing experiences being a volunteer in an institution. So I would say to people is give it a try. If you're at all thinking about this as something that you'd be interested in.
Well, thanks so much, everyone, for coming down and sharing and talking about your experience and some of these ideas.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We have been speaking with Alana Abramson, Dan Ackland, and Robert Cito. They have all worked as coordinators of the Alternatives to Violence Project in prisons in the Fraser Valley. For more information or to get involved in the Alternatives to Violence Project, you can email avp_fv for Fraser Valley at yahoo.ca. That's avp_fv@yahoo.ca.